time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
The tragic earthquake in Haiti. Is it a result of God's judgment on voodoo? Is it a curse from hell? Because of voodoo, is it a result of God's judgment on corruption? Is it a result of God's judgment on the Catholic Church? Is it obscene even to think of it in any of these ways? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on this Martin Luther King Day. Delighted to be with you. The number to call, as always, or if you're just tuning in, same number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. I'll have a few reflections also on Martin Luther King Day before the day is out, and a few other announcements, things to share with you, but our focus is going to be on the ongoing tragedy in Haiti. Look, I have never been in an earthquake. The worst natural disasters I was ever in personally were hurricanes and things like that. We had power out for a week and roads cluttered with trees and power lines down, etc. But never in a situation where there was horrific loss of life. I've ministered in impoverished places like India and seen terrible need and suffering and been in communication with friends who are ministering in the midst of, like right after the tsunami in Asia and things like that. But look, I never lived through this. I never lived through the emotion of there's the rubble and your family's under there and you hear them crying and you can't get to them and they're praying and everybody dies or watching people die because aid is unable to reach them or having faith questions in a setting like that. I've never lived through that. Maybe you have, and certainly all of us have lived through faith-trying situations and lived through personal tragedy on one way or another level or another. But on this level, I don't know that we could really wrap our minds around it. Someone emailed me this thought to help me better wrap my mind around it. Imagine a bomb or something hitting North Carolina, and there are people all over the city trapped under rubble. Bodies burned, people in unimaginable pain. Then you find out that your own grandkids are crushed under their house, and your pastor friend and his wife lost all their children, and many in your congregation lost their loved ones. I don't think you really understand the depth of the reality of a large-scale loss. When you get the picture, it's almost incomprehensible. There are a couple of fascinating articles on CNN.com and FoxNews.com about people of faith in Haiti and their responses. Catholics, others professing Christians, practitioners of voodoo who would consider themselves people of faith, and their take on what God was and wasn't saying or lessons to be learned through this. But the thing that's gotten the biggest response, of course, the comments of Pat Robertson, who said what I'm sure many Christians were thinking who know about Haiti and its extreme voodoo practices. So I want you to hear what Pat Robertson said firsthand. You may have heard quotes about it, may not have heard it firsthand, but let's take a listen.
Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people might not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III and whatever. And they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you'll get us free from the French. It's a true story. And so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. You know, the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other, desperately poor. That island of Hispaniola is one island. Mm-hmm. It's cut down the middle. On the one side is Haiti, on the other side is the Dominican Republic. Yeah. Dominican Republic is prosperous, mm-hmm. healthy, full of resorts, etc. Mm-hmm. Haiti is in desperate poverty. Same island. Sure. they need to have, and we need to pray for them, a great turning to God. And out of this tragedy, I'm optimistic something good may come. But right now, we're helping the suffering people, and the suffering is unimaginable.
All right, so in this context, Pat Robertson is saying something that many would have a problem with, okay? And I'm going to talk more about the voodoo issue in a moment. And many have reacted against it. I'll play a clip in the next segment, Don Imus's reaction to Pat Robertson's words. Whatever you think of his words, whether you agree, whether you profoundly disagree, whether you think you just don't speak that stuff, even if it's true, just understand it was in the context of there's unimaginable suffering. We need to be praying for the people. And Pat Robertson's broadcast and ministry was actively raising funds to send there. So it wasn't just a distant condemnation and those wicked people are getting what they deserve. Now, should it have been said or not? Is it true or not? That's a whole other question. You're free to give me your take on what he had to say. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm about to read some quotes to you that give very different takes on this. And it raises the larger question of when we see tragedy, when we see disasters like this, is this the hand of God at work to bring judgment or to awaken people? Is it simply the result of natural causes? In other words, hey, if you look at it geologically, you could have known for a long time that this was coming. Is it the work of the devil? Does the devil have power to do these things? Is it wrong for us to speculate and our only response is mercy in the midst of the pain and pray that darkness can turn to light? A lot of questions. I remember right after 9/11. Now, of course, that's a different category because those are human beings doing these things. But right after 9/11 and the terrible loss of lives there, I often mention in that context my wife, Nancy, losing her only brother in that disaster. People were sending out, just about every day I was getting another email from another ministry, many of whom were fine ministries that I respected, with their take on this. What can we learn from this? What is God saying? What's the spiritual lesson? What's God doing? What's the devil doing? Has God left us unprotected? Is there judgment? Or should we take alert? Is this more a battle over Israel? America stand with Israel, and we need to focus on standing with Israel. You know, all different perspectives. So I started to write out some notes, and I was going to send out a letter, an email, whatever it was. And Nancy said, you know, asked what I was doing, and I said, well, you know, I'm putting together some thoughts, some insights about what happened on 9/11. And she said, are you sure about that? I said, well, you know, I'm getting asked constantly. It's about every day people are saying, Mike, what's your take? Dr. Brown, what's your take? What do you feel? What's the Lord saying? What are we to learn from this? What's happening? The sign of the times, what's going on? And I'm getting prophetic perspectives from people just about every single day, etc. And she said, well, that doesn't mean you have to respond. I said, yeah, but people are asking me for a response. She said, well, has God spoken to you about it? She said, you should really be sure that God's spoken to you before you put it out. I said, well, I've got some thoughts. I'll really pray. Well, I really prayed. I never wrote anything because I could not say for sure that I had a divine perspective or a divine insight. That being the case, we ought not to speculate. Now, I'm not interacting directly on Pat Robertson's comments yet. I will do that. But we might speculate in our own hearts and ask questions and talk one with another about this. But if you're a pastor, if you're preaching, if you've got an audience through your blog, if you're on some kind of media outlet and you can talk about it, let's be sure that we know what we're talking about. It's one thing to say, hey, here's some scriptural principles that are always true. But if we're going to say God was doing this or the devil was doing this, especially when we're talking about such catastrophic suffering, again, on a level, as I said, that most of us could not comprehend, put me at the top of that list. I know I can't comprehend it as much as I try to wrap my mind around it because I've never been physically in the midst of something like that. I say that treading with caution is the wiser approach. That being said, we're going to explore the questions behind this. And the whole question of voodoo, my appreciation to one of our faithful listeners, Bill Fawcett, who did his best to research the question, did Haiti really make a pact with Satan 2,000 years ago? Was that pact renewed? Did it run out on 2004? Did the government renew its consecration to voodoo? Or again, is it obscene even to raise that question in the midst of the disaster in Haiti? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We'll take your calls and talk through the issues and ask, was this judgment on the Catholic Church when we come back? Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Maybe you're listening for the first time on Martin Luther King Day, changed schedule. Glad to have you with us. I want to make a few comments later in the show, some reflections on Martin Luther King Day and our present situation in America. The climate in America, the racial climate. I want to talk about that in a bit. Yeah, more controversy to stir up. Our focus, though, has been on Haiti. The question of how this tragedy took place. Was it divine judgment? Whenever you see an earthquake, does that mean it's divine judgment? Is it just natural disaster because it's a fallen, messed up world? Is it part of the birth pangs of the Messiah? More and more earthquakes, tragedies, and the end is near. Is it the work of the devil? Is it a judgment on voodoo? Is it a judgment on the Catholic Church? Is it best for us just keep our mouths shut and pray and show mercy and bring the gospel in the midst of horrific, unimaginable suffering? 866-34-TRUTH. Reminder, January 26th and 27th, so that's coming very quickly. My friend Dr. James White and I will be debating the subject of Calvinism. Although we are friends and mutually respectful in terms of one another's work in apologetics and for the gospel, I'm sure that we'll have a good, lively dialogue because we're both passionate about the truth as we see it. And James is one of the clearest, most prominent spokesmen for Calvinism around today. So January 26th, 27th, be sure to tune in. If you missed the broadcast, just go to askdrbrown.org and click on Line of Fire. You can catch all the past archives. While you're there, by the way, why not interact with some of the folks, some of the Unitarian folks that are on the blog now as a result of my dialogue debate with Kermit Zarley last week about the deity of Jesus, the preexistence of Jesus, etc. We now have folks coming on quoting scripture, passionate about their positions, saying the belief in the Trinity is a heresy. And there's a very active, somewhat intense, but constructive discussion going on the Line of Fire broadcast, so on the blog. So get online and check that out and get involved in the discussion as well, okay? Anthony Buzzard, who is the author of the book Jesus Was Not a Trinitarian and some other books as well, got on the blog, and I asked him, why doesn't he come on the air? And he said he'd be delighted to do it. So God willing, sometime next month, we'll continue a formal debate on this with another man who does not believe in the deity or preexistence of the Son of God, Anthony Buzzard. And I'm sure that we'll have a lively and fruitful discussion. Okay, listen to Don Imus's reaction. Now, you don't think of Don Imus in terms of a bastion of spirituality and morality. But Don Imus's reaction to Pat Robertson's comments about voodoo and the darkness over Haiti and the people need to turn to God because of the pact that was made with the devil. This is Don Imus and his radio show and others that broadcast with him. Listen to what they had to say.
Whether sometimes I'm ambivalent about whether I support the death penalty or not. I guess I'd do if I didn't have to do it. But in his case, I'd pull the switch on him myself. I mean, he should be put to sleep. How does that contribute anything?
It doesn't.
It's insanity.
It doesn't, and it's why it is being so broadly, even ridiculed. this morning, beyond condemned and criticized. I mean, it just, I don't know, theological nonsense.
Huh? Yeah.
Crack is whack, Pat, get off the pipe.
Pardon me?
Crack is whack, Pat, get off the pipe. He better deal with the devil, get that TV show.
Why are you still here? Go back in the green room.
He better shut up, I'm going to get on his ass and...
All right, sorry for the comments there right at the end on that. Theological nonsense, the idea that voodoo worship or Satan worship could bring on disaster or leave you unprotected is theological nonsense. Well, actually, it's not theological nonsense. It would be a sound biblical principle that if people did not worship the one true God, especially if they had a covenantal relationship with him at one point, like the people of Israel, if they didn't worship the one true God, and they gave themselves over to following demons and the devil and doing ungodly, destructive things and raising kids in the midst of darkness, you're going to tell me biblically that wouldn't bring judgment? Biblically that wouldn't bring some kind of response? On the flip side, this was not the covenant people. This was not ancient Israel. This is also since Jesus came into the world and died and offered mercy to the entire human race. And the larger question, okay, if somebody 200 years ago made a pact with the devil, and by the way, some researchers find no evidence that any such pact was made. Many missionaries say absolutely it was made. Others say it expired and was not renewed in 2004. I've read claims that it was renewed. I don't know the accuracy of those claims at all. Everyone I know that ministers regularly in Haiti or Christians that live in Haiti tell me it's about the most demonically filled place you can imagine with all kinds of darkness, etc. But does that bring an earthquake? Does that bring an earthquake? Now check this out. Article from Sunday, foxnews.com. Religious Haitians say earthquake was God asking for change. Now check this out. Deeply religious Haitians, which by the way in this article can mean practitioners of voodoo or Catholicism or anything else. Deeply religious Haitians see the hand of God in the destruction of biblical proportions visited on their benighted country. The quake, religious leaders said Sunday, is evidence that he wants change. Exactly what change he wants depends on the faith. Some Christians say it's a sign that Haitians must deepen their faith, while some voodoo followers see God's judgment on corruption among the country's mostly light-skinned elite. And then there's American evangelist Pat Robertson, who said Wednesday that Haiti had been cursed by a pact. He said its slave founders made with the devil 2 centuries ago to overthrow their French rulers and become the world's first black republic. The White House called his remarks, quote, stupid. As desperate believers gathered to pray Sunday across the shattered capital, the Reverend Eric Toussaint told the congregation gathered outside the ruined cathedral that the earthquake, quote, is a sign from God that we must recognize his power. Haitians, he said, need to reinvent themselves to find a new path to God. Some followers of voodoo, practiced alongside Roman Catholicism by the vast majority of Haitians, said the devastation of key symbols of power was punishment for corrupt leaders who have allowed the mostly light-skinned elite to enrich themselves while the black majority suffers. Listen to this. Richard Morse, renowned Haitian-American musician, whose mother was a singer and revered voodoo priestess. If all of a sudden, in 15 seconds, 20 seconds, all the physical representations of corruption are destroyed, it gives you pause for thought. The Justice Ministry, down. The National Palace, down. The United Nations headquarters, down. Unharmed by the quake was the famed bronze statue, the unknown escaped slave, noted Morse, who owns a hotel there. The destruction of every major Catholic church in the capital, including the 81-year-old cathedral, also was a sign. By the way, the archbishop died there as well. When there is all this corruption going on, whose role is it in society to speak out? Isn't the church supposed to say something? Whoa, that is a whole other take. So how in the world do we sort this out? Friends, we'll talk about it and get some insight and come to some conclusions when we come back.
Is the Truth Radio Network.
It's fire
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on this Martin Luther King Day. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org if you'd like to email me directly. As we continue to press in with questions about the horrific tragedy taking place in Haiti, hopefully all of you listening are not only praying, but as you're able, doing something to help in a tangible way. Many churches, of course, gathering funds to send down many major ministries, the World Vision and the Samaritan Purse, these different ones, of course, actively involved on the front lines. I'd encourage you, if you give money, to give it to a Christian organization. If you're giving to Red Cross, that's more of a government organization in terms of a Christian organization as far as their gospel approach to things. Or perhaps I should excuse me, say more of a secular organization. So if you give to a gospel-based organization, perhaps more of the money actually makes it straight into the relief effort because they may have less overhead. But in particular, it is going to be joined with the love of God ministering to people beyond just in a material way. And of course, the material needs are massive. Let me read something that was sent to me. I shared this at the beginning of the broadcast. Let me read this again. And I want to try to press in and really think through a godly biblical response to this terrible tragedy. This was sent to me by a friend, just wanted me to try to relate more deeply to the pain and suffering taking place there. It's one thing to see it on TV. It's one thing to look at the pictures posted online. It's one thing to read the stories. It's another thing to actually think in the midst of being in a horrific living hell. So this was sent to me. Imagine a bomb or something hitting North Carolina, and there are people all over the city trapped under rubble, bodies burned, people in unimaginable pain. Then you find out your grandkids are crushed under their house, and pastor of your church and his wife just lost all their children, and many in your congregation lost their loved ones. I don't think you really understand the depth of the reality of a large-scale loss. When you get the picture, it's almost incomprehensible. Because of that, because of the magnitude of it, I don't think it's wise to just say, well, we don't understand what's happening spiritually. You know, look, Pat Robertson gets castigated for his comments, which, again, were in the midst of a compassionate statement. I think it would be best to maybe hold those thoughts and pray as opposed to speaking them because of how they could come across, how they could be misunderstood, or whether they're even entirely accurate or not. Sometimes it's bad. And look, the moment the earthquake happened, immediately I began to think of the spiritual implications. Immediately I began to wonder about the presence of voodoo and the what many point to as a pact with Satan a couple hundred years ago. And I knew that there'd be discussion about it, and some Christian leaders would raise it. So I knew this was going to come up. Sometimes it's best to just address the situation in terms of the compassionate response and not speculate on what's going on behind the scenes. But we need to say, okay, what do we learn from it? Is God saying anything? Is something going on? I mean, this is not just another day out and walking in the park and you know, a couple of questions about the meaning of life. This is something that does not happen often and has happened with horrific magnitude and very close to us, with many Haitian Americans who have lost loved ones or who don't know about the state of their loved ones, and with news coverage that takes you right behind the scenes. My wife Nancy was watching some of the coverage online and was talking about a little girl, Sunday school girl, and they were monitoring her the whole way. They were able to talk to her and feed her granola bars and water as they're trying to, you know, get her out of the rubble. And she's like, I don't care if I lose my leg, as long as I have my life. She just prayed for God to save her, and they got her out. You have to lose a leg, that's terrible, but they got her out, and then on the way to the hospital, she died. You think, wow, she's praying, just a little girl. I mean, couldn't God answer that one prayer? So a lot of faith questions always come up in situations like this. And in fact, this Fox News article points out that most Haitians are Christians, largely Catholic, with a small but growing number of Protestants, but most also practice voodoo, which along with Catholicism is an official state religion. Several people were seen issuing apocalyptic warnings on the streets Sunday, including a man standing in front of the collapsed National Palace shouting, "Redeem yourselves, the end of the world is near." But a critic of this, Richard Morris, noted that Haitians are already very religious. He's a voodoo practitioner. His countrymen may suffer many ills, but when it comes to spiritual strength, Haiti is one of the richest nations in the world. So whether he has Christian faith mixed with voodoo faith to come up with some corrupt mix, I don't know. And in that sense, the earthquake seems to have been counterproductive in certain terms of salvation. How could he do this to us? Cried Remy Polivard, who said his five children lie beneath in the rubble of a home near St. Gerard University. There is no God. Sunday night, as downtown residents began burning some of the bodies that had been rotting on the streets for 5 days, a woman walking by in an orange dress pulled out a copy of the Bible and she flung it into the fire. And of course, many have been coming to faith. CNN.com reports many Haitians' religious faith unshaken by earthquake. And Christina Bailey, 24-year-old clerk, said that a lot of people who never prayed or believed, now they believe. So you're going to hear miracle stories in the midst of this, and you're going to hear agonizing stories where it seemed that there was no miracle. You're going to hear people turning to God. You're going to hear people turning away from God. How do we sort it out? All right, let me begin to do that before I turn towards the end of the broadcast just to give you some reflections here on Martin Luther King Day. Do you remember what happened in Luke, the 13th chapter? When some people came to Jesus to ask him about some Jews that had suffered, you know, died in an accident, or another case that comes up in the discussion, others that were put to death by Pilate. Do you think they're more wicked than the other Jews? I mean, here there was a natural disaster that killed some people, some Jews. Do you think they were more wicked than everybody else? Remember what the response of Jesus was? No. But unless you repent, you'll all perish. Meaning that these people didn't suffer because they were more wicked. If something like that was going to happen, don't you think there should be a clear prophetic warning first? Do you follow what I'm saying? If the Haiti earthquake was meant to be a judgment from God, say on voodoo practice, or say on corruption in the Catholic Church, or other church leaders failing to speak out against corruption or national corruption, whatever it was, I'm sure there are more than enough sins to judge in Haiti. Also more than enough sins to judge in America. That's the whole point in every nation in the world. But if this was to be a divine act, wouldn't it be appropriate for a clear prophetic message to come to the people, perhaps for a period of years, warning them, and saying, if you don't repent and turn and believe, there will be a massive, devastating earthquake. Turn to God, and he'll spare you. That would be more in keeping with a biblical wake-up call. The absence of that, as far as I know, there was no loud message to that effect. In the absence of that, you've got to be very careful about what you say. So we'll come back to the comments of Jesus, and in the next segment, I promise I will fully sort out my thinking for you on this. We'll be right back. Thanks for being with us, friends. Michael Brown here. On this Martin Luther King Day, coming your way live, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org if you'd like to email me directly. Okay. Oh, did I remind you to check out our Voice of Revolution magazine for this month? It's online. It's free. Voice of Revolution looks at holiness. A bunch of really good articles there. I wrote one on liberty from sin, not liberty to sin. There's one on holiness and the love of God. There's one on, burning idols, the sense of God's holiness. Really neat articles there. So go to AskDrBrown.org, click on Voice of Revolution. And if you're praying about being trained for the work of God, you have a sense, you're called to be a world changer, whether it's in the social realm fighting for justice, whether it's planting churches, whether it's on the mission field, whether it's being a professor at a campus that's going to stand for righteousness. I know of no better place in the world to be trained than Fire School of Ministry. A couple weeks from now, we'll have a Discover Fire Day, a Thursday night, Friday day. So keep posted. We'll give you details on that. Folks fly in from different parts of America and come from all over the region in the Charlotte region. So, you know, as we think about tragedy and pain, it makes us think about our own lives and doing something that counts. So the tragedy in Haiti, how do we respond? Because we do not have a clear biblical word about it, and because there was not a clear prophetic message leading up to it, we do best not to put spiritual causes on it. When a terrible earthquake happens in a place that is not practicing voodoo, what's our answer to it? Or to a place that hasn't heard the gospel, what's our answer to that? Or when it happens in the midst of a lot of Christians, what's our answer to that? Oh, I did a show last year, maybe a little before that, on does God send hurricanes? And someone made the point, I'm not saying that it can't happen, it doesn't happen, but the generic question, and someone made the point that when Katrina hit, wasn't that a place often hit by hurricanes in New Orleans, and time of the year for hurricanes? The answer to both questions was yes. In other words, wouldn't it be more attention-getting if it happened in another part of the United States and at a time of the year when hurricanes didn't normally come, and then especially if it came on the heels of a prophetic warning, we take heed all the more. So how do we look at this? And look, there is tremendous amount of spiritual darkness and voodoo practice there and corrupt religion and other kinds of corruption in Haiti. It's a nation that really needs the gospel as desperately as just about any other nation in the world, despite the strong presence of elements of Christianity that are there. How do we look at it? Number one, any disaster of this proportion has to be a wake-up call, has to remind us that we're just passing through this world, has to remind us of how fragile life is. I mean, every day someone dies, excuse me, unexpectedly, drops dead of a heart attack, gets in a car wreck, some tragedy happens, but this happens on such a mass scale. It must get our attention. We are just passing through. This world is not our eternal home. Even if we're here 80 or 90 years, we must have the attitude of we are passing through. There must be more than just this world. Number two, in the midst of the disaster, this is our time to come with a real Christian response and show, you want to know what the gospel's about? It's about caring for people. It's about loving people. It's about helping people. It's about making a difference in the lives of hurting people. This is where there must be a strong presence, where we must raise our voices, where we must get tangible help out, not just raising our voices, but throwing our lives in however we can to make a difference. And three, when we come into a situation of spiritual darkness, that's when we say, listen, there has to be more calling out to demons and calling out to the devil and putting your trust in any of these other forces. That's not going to work. Jesus is the only answer. If this is a result of spiritual darkness and an alleged pact with Satan or whatever else it is, or if this is a judgment on corruption and dead religion and corruption in government, this is where we come with a message of the gospel. This is where we come with a message of hope. This is where we come with a message of there is a better way. So, number one, wake-up call, reminder to all of us of the shortness of life, and with that, of the large-scale guilt of the human race. If we got what we deserved, there'd be earthquakes killing people around the world by the millions every day. God's been extreme in his mercy, not in his judgment. A wake-up call, reminder of the sinfulness of the human race, a time to help in a tangible way with the grace and kindness of God, helping the poor, helping the needy. And three, a time to say, Jesus is the light, Jesus is the way, there is only hope in him. These are at least three responses that we should have in the midst of this. Okay, we'll be back, friends. Stay with us. Michael Brown here. Welcome back Carolina Fire. Last segment for today. We will make it count. Remember, January 26th and 27th, my debate with Dr. James White, a respected apologist and co-worker in the gospel. We will be facing off on the subject of Calvinism. I'm not a Calvinist. Dr. White is. So we'll be discussing that. Get word out to your friends. And if you missed the broadcast, my discussion debate with Kermit Zarley about the deity of Jesus and the preexistence of Jesus, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You can listen to the shows there and then get involved in the discussion. We've got a very lively discussion and some very strongly opinionated Unitarians who are quite sure that their position is biblical, blasting those who hold to what they call the Trinity heresy. So get involved. Get involved in the discussion there. You've got some junior apologists out there, folks who love the word. Get involved. Okay. You know, it's striking. Pat Robertson makes the comments he does. My thinking would be that it's best to think those thoughts rather than say them, and to really pray. You could come out and say, you know, there's so much voodoo practitioning there, there's so much this and that. I don't know what caused the earthquake, but I certainly know that there's a lot of spiritual darkness there. Let's really pray that in the midst of this tragedy, whatever the cause of it, that God would send his mercy, which was ultimately, I believe, what Pat Robertson was wanting to say. And has voodoo brought a curse on the nation? It certainly could. You would think that way. That makes perfect sense, but does that bring an earthquake? That's a whole other issue. But strikingly, in what was meant to be a compassionate comment by Pat Robertson and nothing less, in the midst of raising relief efforts to help the people in a tangible way, he gets blasted in the crudest ways. And then you have someone like Don Imus said, you know, he should just be put to sleep. We should just kill him. Where's the outcry about a comment like that? All if you want to say on moral and spiritual issues, people take Pat Robertson more seriously, whether they like him or not, than Don Imus. Okay, I would accept that. All right. Closing thought for you here on Martin Luther King Day. Dr. King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech in 1963. And if you could have told him then that 45, 46 years later, there would be a black president of the United States, a black family in the White House, that might have seemed even beyond his wildest dreams, as much as he had a dream and a vision. To think something like that would happen in really a very short period of time. I know for those that were in the midst of racial inequality and oppression and segregation and sometimes violent attacks, it was not that short a period of time. But in terms of cultural generational change, a short period of time. Again, I don't minimize the suffering and hardship that many black Americans had through the decades. Certainly dramatic change, and something for which we can be glad on a social and civil rights and righteousness issue. The one thing I want to say in conjunction with that, to all of those who take the criticism of President Obama as racially based, I want to strongly encourage you not to think that way. People are outraged over what they consider to be radical Democratic policies. They're outraged with the Congress. They're outraged with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, both of whom are white. They're outraged with President Barack Obama, who's black. It has nothing to do with race. And I want to encourage you, since we have now moved to the place of being able to elect a black president, and it was not a big trauma to do it, because people favored him over John McCain. Please, please, please don't take criticism of the president and his policies as a racial reaction. Recognize it for what it is. People very upset with where the government is going, be that government black, white, green, or yellow. Look at it on that level so that we can move forward constructively, whatever your political views be. All right, friends, join us tomorrow. We'll be coming your way live again. You have a great day.
The Truth Radio Network.